We're going to start in a minute. And this time I'm going to welcome Craig back to introduce Peter Cully, our guest from PetNet. And don't forget that their books are available, so please check them out after the meeting. I know I'm going to.
Welcome back. Thank you all for bearing through my reading. Now on to the really good part of the reading. I'm actually really thrilled to introduce Peter Cully. He's been sort of a long-distance friend, poet friend, for a while. Daniel and I published him early on in our Monkey Puzzle magazine. Anyway, on to the introduction.
He was the very first reader, the very first subtext reader.
He was the very first subtext reader, too. So, history here. Peter Cully lives in South Wellington, just south of Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. There, Peter Cully has been taking pictures, and these pictures are now on display at the Charles H. Scott Gallery in Vancouver until July 7th. July 7th. They're also all over his blog, which you should definitely check out, Mosses of an Old Manse. Peter Cully, of course, also writes poems, and these poems have been collected into books, three of which I'd like to mention: Hammertown, The Age of Briggs and Stratton, and Parkway. These books have constructed a place called Hammertown. Hammertown is a reference to a fictional fishing port on Vancouver Island in George Perec's Life, a User's Manual. So in a way, Peter Cully's Hammertown is like Joyce's Dublin, or Oleson's Gloucester, or Williams's Paterson, or even Kiger's Bolinas. But more so, I think, it's like O'Hara's Second Avenue. Hammertown fakes a frontier, as Spicer would say, a poem somebody could hide in with a sheriff's posse after him. Hammertown is a place for idiom and abutments, echolocaic line breaks, dope rhymes, where the tone arm hastens and a falcon soars overhead. Hammertown is the bare knuckle bonhomie of poems for us to hide in with capitalism closing in. Although I've never been to Nanaimo, I love visiting Hammertown, and so it's a particular thrill when Hammertown comes to visit us. Please help me in welcoming Peter Cully.
Going to open with a couple of dog poems that I actually wrote before I had a dog that caused me to get a dog. They both open with quotes from William Empson's The English Dog, an essay. The first one is Dog Eulogistics. William Empson here. Few people nowadays observe their dogs to grin, and those who do take it as a charming smile. But the grin of dogs seems then to have been a part of their reputation for satire. Never met a detour it didn't like, or that didn't have a joke at the end of it. Rara avis strode the rare earth, born to wonder and born to wander, why trees refused pants and cats umbrellas. Why the slave that made my t-shirt, the slave that made my donkey chow, and the slave that melted my Swiss just now, don't just walk barking over the bodies of their symptoms and out the door. Like when it turned out the witch's kryptonite was water, dig? The clever flying monkeys thought description sufficient and didn't even have a plan A, thus found themselves a plant mister away from domination by the cowardly class. Still better under house arrest in a postal facility than dressed in brocade and carried in a cup. Craft dinner with privileges. Here's Empson again. It is the pastoral idea that there is a complete copy of the human world among dogs as among swains or clowns. This is actually my commercial drive in Vancouver. At last, the anger ascends, like the forking branches of a big tattoo, or the Lochside Fleet's rampant cross of gold, shimmering now with revolutionary impatience, as at the hot club, Pol Pot slides his capo two notches up the ukulele's neck. And after shaking out the crumbs, Lenin dries his kazoo on the radiator. Those of us who confuse improvisation with such overpreparedness will never understand the role of menthols in the downfall of the Romanovs. The Scrabble hustlers of Zurich played through the pain, and every croque monsieur they buttered, grilled, and quartered for the class ring and cider set was a bucket of thick sand dredged from the harbor mouth of history. On tiny tempera couches they slept, pillows stuffed with discarded beards, rode in sealed containers down the Chuckanut, and 6 decades later a burning rag is shoved through a bookstore mail slot. At last the anger ascends. The chicken cook is tried in absentia, his instruments scattered to the flames, while at Joe's the shining path smirk through Americanos as though at the clack of the pool balls, while rocket on the jukebox, the hiss of the Victoria bus, a dog's jaws closing on a frisbee, bandana flapping, proclaim victory, victory, victory. This, I'm gonna, I need a glass of water. I'm just
gonna fetch it myself.
This is my poem for the Seattle Poets, which is kind of based on a fact I learned a few years ago. One of my favorite albums when I was a teenager was John Coltrane's Live in Seattle, which is a very late and very extreme, but it was what I had instead of death metal, I guess, when I was 16. So it meant a lot to me, and I was reading a biography of Coltrane and found out that the next day they recorded Ohm in Linwood. And in somebody's converted garage, and they were on acid. And so this is kind of my tribute to them and to the Seattle Poets. Blue from Player's Plane, Pharaoh and Coltrane, hopped up hummingbirds, raging on raw honey, oysters and barnacle scraping soul encounters, buzz the pre-dawn Linwood rain. Blew from Winslow Homer, or someone with no home to go to, he wet his finger west and traces out the weather weak, his weakest hunch, a sheriff's gut, thrust out for the informer. Blue Sixes, Music and Wine was a song we played all the time before the macrobiotic encounter split the silver monitor. The crashing symptoms came complete with waves of Ohm on yellow gull feet. Blue Moon's a passenger with no ID and nothing solid in the dictionary. No per diem, no booking fee, no very convincing reason to be alone in swollen solidarity with the puffer, the skink, and the manatee. This is a kind of a series of poems based on different restaurants. White Castle, you're in the States, you know about. I've only ever been there twice. The White Spot is a prestigious Vancouver or lower mainland chain of restaurants. And the White Lunch is a formerly disappeared Skid Row restaurant in Vancouver. The Ballad of the Man in the White Castle. The man in the high chair is a critter sitter of the first order. Granitic ticks brush mercury hair. He folds his paper over and over. He reads with pleasure that the young can trace their liminal state to those distant, pleasant barbecues that did not spare the great. With unity and impunity sundered at the root, and goofballs spared neither rod nor boot, the bear shit continues, deep and crisp and even, as though the lemon heart contained no lemon. And of the great and good, there once was great many. Their shuttered doors, buckled floors, and moral miscellany. Can I has a witness Tuesday, said Miranda, the original decider, as the man in the White Castle peels back paper from his slider. Corrugated as the fries he stuffs, as with deranged analgesia he puffs, a Zeppelinish tabloid in his fist, and on the wall there is a list. The bus flew over the river, the bus flew over the river, corduroy over the river, corduroy over the river. For zombies best, a Pulaski axe, it's the standard global chopper. And if you have to ask how much, you ain't our kind of shopper. Rattle of dew in a Coke cup, ice chew till you throw up. When you gonna grow up, stop pretending that you know us. Ride the bus discussion for a hamburger today. Phone in a Vernon verdict, a double rainbow off Foul Bay. With nothing but an inset map, phone voice, headshot, leather strap, slowly he peels back the wrap. Slowly he peels back the wrap. I read that one. Ah. The Ballad of the Man in the White Spot. To create a catchment for the blood, separate the lead from the egg. Strain salt through the mud, sop gravy with a heel you've begged. Spring, we're still inhaling ornaments. Value Village tight with Easter grails and pails, pulling tinsel through our fundaments, flossing with electric eels. This biscuit tastes of creosote. It's a stratigraphic morsel. A puck in a vise on rice is nice for packing plaster on the torso. Work it with a bent skate key while acknowledging the long math. Let's sift this stretch of crumb tray beach as if our habits formed a path. Then it's later, like the kids say, trailing off on ceramic shins over links, tussocks, and hard step curbs using their hands as fins. The Ballad of the Man in the White Lunch. Former site of the last lumpless oatmeal east of the Occident, lodge, toast, and oleo curled into a cone and softened wee tea. Reach through the bars of the nectarine crate, giant white man dreadlock brushes blood from the marble, passes the HP sauce bottle tower, spears his patty with a pin. Smoked oysters toothpicked on the Greyhound north to Terrace. Thus between the institution and the raw end of the polisher, November of 77. 3 score and 10 skins got you a hot tap, a heater, a prayer blanket of sky, and all the fortune cookies you could eat. Vitamins, a cubic yard of steam, inhaled, pivoting from the sprouts. In the lobby, a labyrinth, monochrome, electrohome, dispensing, after school, dark shadows, funorama, the kissing man, edge of sleep. I don't know if there's any record collectors here. This is a record collector poem. The Falconer's Tone Arm. if anybody got that Robbie Basho joke. Bound a dime with a length of twine, plowed the licorice earth with bone, load-bearing cords dropped off the spine in shellacked redoubts of phonotone. For the sake of us feral kids, necks scratched raw in a two-horse town, the sleeping cops of Michigan poured out a can of Motown. The thistled face of Jimmy Shand in a flat of some small size, the hypno coin of Frankie's face spinning steamships past reprise. Brown Shenachie cottage, angel feather frottage, this too is collage as a function of knowledge. Woke up this morning, began with a word, a letter of warning concerning Bluebird. The weather around Fats Waller obviates the squalor, which is more than I can say for Dynaflex RCA. Terrible pressings, remember that?